You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So, my name's Neil Valentine. I'm one of the trustees at Diverse Church New Zealand, which is an LGBT-affirming Christian network.
What does Diverse Church do? Is it kind of like a safe haven for LGBT Christians? Is it exclusive in that respect?
Yeah, so it was essentially formed by a group of rainbow LGBT Christians in order to provide a network to support LGBT Christians, but also to provide resources. And every 2 years, we run a national hui, which, is again just a space for LGBT Christians to gather from across the country and to feel supported and affirmed in who they are.
So today there's been some news that there's going to be an update on the conversion therapy ban legislation, which is going to be detailed in an afternoon announcement by the Justice Minister. Unfortunately, we can't talk about that because this show is 12 to 1. But it says, as of now, that there's going to be a particular focus on people aged 18 and under, and the legislation will make it an offence to run a conversion therapy practice. Both criminal and civil offences will be introduced. Where does a Diverse Church stand on the whole thing, and what work do they maybe do with people who are under 18, maybe going through difficult times with not being accepted by their family and maybe being pushed towards this kind of thing?
Sure. So I guess Diverse Church doesn't necessarily have an exact position on the details of the proposed legislation because we don't know what it looks like yet. I guess it is interesting to us that there's a focus on younger folk. I don't think it's been something that's been sort of flagged until now, so that'll be interesting for us to look into the detail of it when it comes out. But certainly we've provided voice into the Ministry of Justice is sort of informal consultation with the community up until now. We've met with the Ministry of Justice and we've been part of workshops where we've been able to sort of outline the harms of conversion therapy and these kinds of practices. And we've given our perspective on the sort of the way forward. But yeah, the focus on age is an interesting one to us, but again, we can't really get into the detail until we see what exactly the proposed legislation will look like.
I thought it was really interesting that parents pushing their children towards conversion therapy is going to be made a prosecutable offence, but advising just someone in general to seek religious, medical or mental health support in regards to their sexual orientation will remain legal. And I guess the difference between those two things is literally just the age. So yeah, I don't know. I found that interesting and was like wondering, with all that focus on under 18s, what support is in place for LGBT Christian adults? Maybe turn towards places like you guys.
Yeah, so again, we would have concerns if the legislation is purely focused on under 18s and if there's no legal protections at all for adults. That seems to be an odd position to take. Again, you know, until we actually see the wording of the legislation, we won't know that. Because at the end of the day, even adults are vulnerable, right? It can take people many years to figure out their sexuality, especially if they've grown up within Christian environments, because the ideology is so strong, you know? Every part of your being, when you're within some of these Christian environments, is sort of aligned with that ideology. It can take you many years to figure out your sexuality and then many years to undo that sort of theological conditioning. And so if adults aren't protected at all, that would seem very odd to me.
I agree. I guess we'll have to see what does happen with it. But yeah, interesting that it did have that divide.
Absolutely. And of course, the other thing is that, you know, public and Christians and all sorts of people will have the opportunity to submit to the select committee process. And would it really encourage people to get involved in that?
Obviously, banning conversion therapy is a huge and important thing. But I wonder how easy it is going to be, I mean, obviously not, but to change covert and overt attitudes in the church. Because even though this very explicitly kind of like homophobic thing is going to be banned, that doesn't stop people from disapproving of LGBTQ plus individuals in their church or like preaching that things like homosexuality are wrong. Does Diverse Church like work with different churches to improve attitudes from the inside out? How do we address this issue of like, even if we ban conversion therapy, a lot of people in church are still going to be very, very against homosexuality?
Absolutely. So Diverse Church will work with any churches or church organizations that are willing to engage. They recognize that you know, young people who are coming through their youth groups and that sort of thing. You know, they all have rainbow friends, and for them it's just not a problem at all. Yeah, I think there's this real push from young people to say, actually, churches, you're out of touch with society and you're out of touch with good moral practice, essentially.
That's really good to hear that it is coming from the young people upwards. And I think it'll be really interesting to see the future of religion in the church. It's been a very big cultural shift recently. And
in many ways, this is an opportunity for churches to be, you know, to do better, to be who they say that they are, you know. Churches all say that they represent the love of God, this kind of infinite love. And so if LGBT people are feeling that within their churches, then that's a blind spot and it's something that they, you know, need to address. And at the end of the day, I think if they want to survive into the future in a society that is, you know, more and more and more accepting of rainbow folk, then they all need to make that shift.
So as well as talking to Neil, I've also talked to my friend Charlotte, who's a young queer Christian, and her experiences about growing up in the church and just how that kind of environment has been.
Hi, I'm Charlotte. I'm 21 and I've been raised Christian, grown up Christian, gone through like a deconstruction period for myself and kind of reevaluated my beliefs, and I'm still Christian.
I was wondering, as someone who does identify as queer and Christian, how was your school environment? How's your church environment growing up? Was it all relatively open?
I would say there's always been a general culture of like, growing up, it was weird or not really talked about at school or church. It's really a topic that's not approached at church at all. It's kind of alluded to in ways. I don't think purity is the right word, but it's a kind of alluded to in church, but it's not really directly talked about. But if we're talking about between peers at church, there's definitely a culture of it being wrong. Obviously, people at church, they're Christian and they love God and they want to do what's right to God and for themselves. It's this really terrible cycle of wanting to do what's good for God and yourself, but also acknowledge and accept yourself. So that's quite a hard thing to break out of. If we're talking consensually, someone can go to conversion therapy. I think even then that's really terrible because those people are probably very vulnerable and manipulated. The Bible's being used as a weapon in that way to further the agenda of homosexuality being wrong when it's really not a main topic in the Bible at all, or even it's debated whether that's even a proper translation. The Bible is a guide, but there still is a general kind of culture of that's in the Bible and, you know, we don't talk about that, or that's something that's known without spacing it.
I think the change in the culture thing is interesting because right now is really the opportunity to do just that, because there's a very definite split in the attitudes of young people and older people in the church. Obviously, that's a massive generalization. Yeah. On a general level, the overall sentiment of young people, I think 30 and under, seems to be more tolerant and open to interpretative difference and willing to modify tradition. So are you quite positive with where the church might be heading to in the next 30 years or so? And do you think young people really spearhead change?
Yeah, I actually do think there is positive change. Already there's churches, even in Wellington, where I live, that are LGBTQ plus affirming. And that's just really the main thing, is that they do need to state it and they do need to talk about their position, because then you actually genuinely feel welcomed and you feel safe. And I think the more people who come to terms with their sexuality and their Christianity, the more people will be in the church.
I think what you're saying about affirming and just talking about it is really important, because taboos have never gotten anyone anywhere. And yeah, things obviously always exist no matter how little you talk about them. For churches who are really having a reluctant time to try and even talk about it, putting it out on the table is a great first step.
Yeah, definitely.
As well as Charlotte, I also talked to my friend Steph, who has been the head girl of St. Catherine's College, a Catholic girls' school in Wellington, and has also run as a councillor in Wellington Council once before, and is thinking, I believe, to do it again.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. I went to a Catholic girls' high school as well as a religious primary school. While I'm not religious myself, I grew up around like pretty religious influences. Yeah, I'm planning on running to be a councillor for the Wellington City Council in the next elections.
I'm talking about conversion therapy today because it's coming up again in the news. There's going to be an announcement made later this afternoon about what exactly is in the legislation. Do you have any initial opinions on the whole thing?
Well, I think that the issue of conversion therapy there's two kind of like rights that you're discussing in the whole debate, and that's the right to religious freedom, but also the right to not be harmed for your identity. And I think they're both very important rights, and I think that when people, a lot of people on the left especially, like to attack people who say it's a religious right, but at the end of the day, I think it is a religious right. That being said, I don't think that a religious right should trump the right for someone to live comfortably in their identity. If you are gay and you want to undergo counselling to try and prevent that, then it's a human right to be able to do that, but I would definitely disagree with medical procedures or anything to do with drugs or like shock therapy or anything like that. I think that's pretty barbaric.
So let me get you straight. So you're saying that you think that conversion therapy should be available as something that religious people can go to if they feel like they do want to change their sexuality?
I think that would be an ideal situation, but at the end of the day, I think the most important thing is probably just to ban it. Totally, because in a Western liberal society, we've kind of reached the point where I think we should value that more than so-called religious freedom. But I still think that it is a religious freedom is still a part of the debate, in my opinion. If I was going to say it simply, I am against the concept of conversion therapy, and I think that it should become illegal.
Right, yeah. I think religious freedom is a difficult concept to talk about in relation to this, because there are so many forces working against people in this situation. Even if they are an adult consensually going to conversion therapy, there can be a lot of repressed stuff behind that, kind of forcing them to go.
Oh yeah, definitely.
The theological conditioning.
I'm pretty confident that above 90% of situations in which the conversion therapy would occur, it would be in a kind of like coercive environment, and it would be, you know, so even if it is so-called like something consensual that an adult commits themselves to, I think obviously that person's got some issues that and making them feel that they need to do that in the first place. So my opinion on it is kind of like a bit nuanced.
I think I can see what you're trying to say, but I agree with you on the point that despite this, it's overall better to just ban it.
The simplicity of just banning it outright is obviously a lot easier to, one, legislate, and two, just to for people to understand. Jacinda Ardern made a comment saying that for some it is religious freedom, and I do agree with that fundamentally. Like, it, you should be able to pursue whatever you want if it's gonna, like, if it's, especially if it's a like spiritual thing. Conversion therapy does cause a lot of harm, and I think that it's probably more important that we protect people who are vulnerable to that harm than it is that we protect people's religious rights.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.